Alfred Hitchcock used to say. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, and this is Travel with Radio, the show that lets you enjoy the pleasures of travel without any of the problems, all from the comfort of your easy chair. This is our 10th season and 397th episode.
At Travel It's Radio, we cover all the bases. We talk to hotel people, destinations, airlines, authors, writers, entrepreneurs, and tour operators, anyone and everyone connected to the world of travel, and not only in the USA, but around the world.
And tonight, our special guest is my longtime friend and colleague, Nick Contis, author of Going Local, Experiences and Encounters on the Road. Welcome, Nick, to Travel It's Radio.
Dan, how are you, my friend? Can I say one thing? What happened to your Braves?
Hank Aaron is better than Willie Mays. Got it rest there.
Well, okay. You got it. Rest
All
in
right.
peace, Hank.
Mary Ellen, you got it.
Yep.
Yeah. Nick, why don't you introduce us to your audience? Where do you live and what kind of travel writing do you do?
Well, who am I? I'm 100-plus country global explorer and travel writer, journalist, photographer, author, and speaker Nick Contis. I'm born on one of the world's most jaw-dropping islands, I like to think, even though it's a little crowded now, Santorini Island in Greece. But at age three, as many immigrants did at the time, my parents brought me to America. And for me, that happened to be San Francisco, where I grew up. I currently still keep a base in the Bay Area, in the Napa Valley, but nowadays I'm living primarily in San Blas in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. San Blas is a sleepy little town. Actually, I'm at a beach outside of it, but it's a sleepy little town 100 miles north of Puerto Vallarta. And the Spaniards left San Blas, the port of San Blas, to discover my native city of San Francisco. So somehow that correlates well somehow. In my travels, I write, I photograph just about everything from adventures like sailing the Amazon or gorilla tracking in the Volcanoes National Park in Rwanda. I also cover cruises, hotels, wine, luxury. So I'd say, you know, honestly, I'm a little bit both adventure and luxury. I don't think you have to be defined one or the other. Again, I do have a book on the subject of experiential travel titled, as you guys mentioned, Going Local, Experiences and Encounters on the Road. It's on Amazon, and I'm currently redoing a second edition, so I look forward to taking some downtime that we're all forced in to redo my book. In fact, I say this, guys, experiential is the new luxury. Today's traveler wants to delve deeper into local society and a little bit less on spending 7 days lying on a beach, you know, keeping lands pristine and protecting people. So I think there's a lot of good things going on right now, even though we're in a lull for travel.
Okay, Nick, you're a photojournalist for USA Today Porthole Cruise. What is that? How often does it come out? And where can Travel It Radio listeners find it?
Well, and of course, you know, this pandemic has, as we all know, still rages out of control and has stopped travel for now. But as more people get vaccinated, travel will come back. Cruises are a little bit down now, well, a lot down right now, not a little bit, but Porthole Cruise will be running my story on my Amazon sailing 200 miles upstream from Manaus last February, late February, without a clue of what was to come. Can you imagine? I was sailing the Amazon with no Wi-Fi, and all of a sudden I come back and they're telling me the world has gone sick. And I go, well, I still don't believe it, but if you say so. And, of course, eventually I did find out, but it was interesting to be sailing at that time. USA Today will resume my photo shoots again as soon as now that they see that we're going in the other direction back into travel, not out of it, so little by little. So USA Today features me online because there's 20 to 40 photos, so it makes more sense to do that online, whereas Porthole Cruise is in print. And USA Today will be taking photo shoots of mine of Nicaragua and now the Azores, where I recently was.
What are some of your other outlets?
Oh, a few of them are the local newspaper in Napa I write for, the Napa Valley Register. I can be seen on the Huffington Post, Forbes Travel Guides, Jax Facts Magazine reaches 100,000 travel agents, Luxury Side, Lux Getaways, Just Lux, Go Nomad is a site for adventure, Skyscanner, One Travel, Iconic Life, Travel Pulse, to name a few.
Now, tell our listeners about your recent international trip. And how is it impacted by those COVID protocols?
Well, you know, guys, it's a new world, isn't it? You know, what can
mm-hmm.
we? Who in an inkling had a clue that 2020 was going to exist the way it did? No one. So anyway, I was one of four journalists from North America invited by TAP Air Portugal and Azores Getaways, allowed special permission into the Azores and later to mainland Portugal. I came to see firsthand TAP's new flight from Boston to Ponta Delgada in the Azores and to experience a new clean and safe stamp, measures put in place by Portugal to see how Portugal is handling the pandemic, which they were amazing. For me as someone in the know who might provide insight to travelers and to show here's a regular traveler, although a journalist, traveling mid-pandemic, to get a glimpse on how Portugal will prepare when international travel makes its comeback. And we all hope, I'm hoping summer of this year, but maybe that's, you know, I don't know how realistic that is, but I surely hope by fall, more of us get vaccinated, the more I think we can travel. I hope, I'm hoping so. With a new president in, I think maybe relations with the EU will get better. So for me, I departed Puerto Vallarta on a Sunday, but look what I had to do. Okay, so I had to, on a Friday, I needed 72 hours prior, I had to go to a hospital in Puerto Vallarta and get that horrible swab up the nose. Okay, I did that. On a Friday, I did that. On Saturday, I received my negative paperwork. And on Sunday, I flew on United, Puerto Vallarta, via Houston to Boston to meet up with my fellow travelers, my fellow journalists of the three, and to board TAP. Logan Airport was eerily empty. I mean, the flight was at midnight. Okay, so you don't expect a lot of people to begin with. But boy, it was you could hear a pin drop. But again, you know, the flight was late, so maybe that played a role in it. But not many people are traveling to begin with. They weren't in October. Upon check-in at TAP, I was asked for my negative paperwork, which I had to provide, and I did. Before the flight, I had to take a temperature check, and on board, I was reminded to continuously wear your mask, wear my mask at all times, unless eating or drinking. Now, TAP has done things pretty well. The clean and safe protocol makes sure that all spaces on the Airbus 320 are sanitized, completely sanitized. We were provided with ample sanitizing wipes, of course. The crew was fully masked at all times as well. Upon arrival in the Azores, we were met by officials wearing PPE hazmat suits. Every Whoa. Person arriving into the Azores receives a temperature check. You know, I mean, they're doing things right. I had to present my paperwork again, my negative COVID results. And from there, you know, I was allowed to enter. I should mention this. Portugal was the first country in Europe to receive the Safe Travels Badge from the World Travel and Tourism Council. Portugal really has done it right. You know, they did a great job. You know, everything was safe. No, never felt unsafe.
We're talking to
travel
writer Nick Contis.
Yeah, how are you granted permission to enter the Azores and mainland Portugal?
My new friend from Azores Getaways, Luis, sponsored my group along with TAP Air Portugal. The two of them did the sponsorship. The government approved, and that's how we were let in. They wanted us to see the Azores, to see that, look, this is a place that is, you know, less crowded. It's open spaces. There's hiking. You know, this is a place that you'll see that is a place where travelers will want to go when they resume travel again. The Azores, by the way, are 900 miles more or less off the coast of Portugal, almost equidistant to Morocco as to Lisbon, more or less close anyway. I visited two of the 9 far-flung remote Atlantic archipelago of Azores, San Miguel and Terceiro, wonderful places. After the Azores, I spent time in Lisbon, just one of the most underrated and, I don't know, I mean, top tier cities in the world. That it's not on the, maybe not quite on the level of, you know, Paris, London, and New York, but well worthy of a visit, you know, and just, you know, amazing wines that rival the Napa Valley. Everywhere you go, there's amazing food. And after Lisbon, I went to Alentejo, which is a medieval holdover region with fortresses and you know, convents dating back to the 12th century. Just an amazing journey. And again, you know, follow the rules and travel should be fine. You know, I mean, if people do their part, the destinations are doing theirs.
What about hotels?
That's incredible. Mary Ellen, take the next question.
What about hotels? What was the process involving check-in, and how are your rooms?
Well, you know, again, you know, it all falls into place with the clean and safe protocols. Everybody was doing things perfectly. I like this. When you at your hotel, when you check in, there's a seal on your door showing you that the room has recently been clean, right? And not only that, it tells you that since the cleaning, no one has been in your room. And I think that's just wonderful. I think that Portugal, like Greece, you know, depends on tourism. So, you know, they had to be proactive. They really depended on it. I stayed at some amazing hotels, the Marina Atlantico, Ponta Delgada on San Miguel Island, on Terceiro, the Terceiro Mar Hotel, and then it even got better when I got to the mainland. In Lisbon, oh, I stayed at this crown jewel property, the Tivoli Avenida Atlantico. It was, you know, just perfectly centered in the city, right near shopping, and I could walk everywhere from there. And in the Alentejo region, I stayed in what was a medieval fortress, which was the Posada da Arena Santa Isabel, and I stayed in a convent hotel, the ex-convent, a church inside the hotel, Convento do Espinero. It was just amazing. You know, while there, I sat down with the GM of the Tivoli, Miguel Garcia, and I said, Miguel, how come you guys are doing it so right? He said, you know what we did? You know, maybe he said, unlike our country. And I said, yeah, I guess I get it. He said, we put petty differences aside. We know the betterment of the nation had to be that we do things right. So we attract visitors, especially when it is safe to travel. And the few that, you know, they did travel during the pandemic, I guess, like me. So, you know, it's nice to see that, you know, health organizations and government, right wing or left wing, it shouldn't matter, you know, right? It's just, you know, the point is we have one common goal, and that's to combat the virus. I like that a lot.
I like that too. What were the protocols for the guided tours, the restaurants, and everyday travel? Were they similar?
Very much similar. And again, I just say that Azores getaways, they're flawless. I should give a shout out to one particular girl, a guide named Mara on Terceiro Island, 20-year-old, 20-something girl, so passionate about her destination. She just made the trip wonderful. It's nice to get good guides. It's nice when you have people that know their area and they're passionate about it. It makes you feel better. Restaurants, same way, same thing. Clean and safe protocols. There was spacing between tables. And yes, many did a temperature check upon entering the restaurant, which I had no problem with whatsoever. And no phase of the trip was unsafe in my mind. You know, I came, I saw, I ate, I visited, I photographed, and I arrived home safely with no sickness.
And you had a great time.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
We're talking with travel writer Nick Contis.
Nick, I'm dying to find out if the seals on your door made any noise during the night.
No, we were good there.
Okay, moving on. After the Azores, you traveled to mainland Portugal. Tell us what that was like.
I'll say one thing for sure. Lisbon, again, is just a magical city. It's very San Francisco-like, Lisbon. you know, underrated city. Well, not that San Francisco is. Lisbon isn't that much either, I guess, nowadays. But, you know, it's off the radar of the major cities, right, of the larger European cities, right, which I like. And just the vibe is so wonderful. Excellent cuisine, museums, shopping, filled with culture. Dan, everybody's guys, it was just everything is amazing. I'll say, you know, bacalao is their main fish, codfish, yum. If you have a museum, actually have a bacalao museum in Lisbon, which I visited, and their addicting custard tart, pastéis de nata. Oh my God, it's just keep that away from me because I don't need the calories, but I partake in my fair share, to say the least. But pre-strip calories don't count, right, Dan? Lisbon is a great walking city. So as far as that goes, it was wonderful. Then moving on, you know, I visited the region of Alentejo, provided us with a car, me and another journalist. And again, we experienced just, you know, a step back into Roman times. Also, it's a wine region, stellar wines that rival the Napa Valley. So to combine, you know, a culture trip for 3 days in a new region combined with amazing food and, you know, holdover villages from the 12th century, just something that, you know, I'll never forget. You know, I'm glad that I stayed extra days. I was already over there, you know, everything, and I saw everything was fine. I never felt unsafe, so I used the extra time to explore some more. And it was really cool being on a road trip in Europe when, you know, when Americans aren't allowed in. So I was happy.
Nick, what would you say to travelers who plan on traveling once destinations and borders reopen?
Now, that's a very, very good question. Well, I'll say that, what are you going to do? You know, take it slow. Take it easy. You know, you're not going to rush things. So if that's the case, you know, just, again, you realize you've got to follow the new rules. Like it or not, at least for a while, that things are going to be things aren't going to be the way they were for a long time. So that's what I'm saying the most. You know, there's new protocols. You can travel. You'll be able to travel. Look, the same things you're doing at home in your home city, you can do on the road. You know, you'll be able to probably sit in an outdoor restaurant, maybe not indoors. But, you know, again, I'm holding hope that as more people get vaccinated that things will gradually return to normal. But I see another year of traveling to open spaces like in my California, Yosemite National Park, places like that, I think. I think that will remain the new normal. But Dan, think about this, guys. The Azores are closer to Boston than is San Francisco or Los Angeles. So that means that going further, someone from the East Coast, the Azores are closer than Hawaii.
Wow.
You know, so that's, to me, that's you know, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I'm sure Portugal will open first, you know, maybe before some other nations. I don't know how the protocols will work.
Okay, I want to tell our listeners, you're listening to Travel Itch Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com. Or check out the archive show on our Facebook page. We're talking with travel writer Nick Contis.
Nick, do you write while you're on the road, or do you wait till you get back? And that also leads to the next question. How often are you home, and how often are you away?
Well, you know what? It's a funny thing. I bring a laptop with me, nonetheless. But do I really get any writing done? I don't really, to be honest, because really, I mean, if you're in a new destination, shouldn't you be exploring that destination more than concentrating on your staying on your laptop? You should be out and about, you know, experiencing people, food, everything, you know, the landmarks of the destination, outdoor spaces, hiking, you know. So I'm not really writing too much when I travel. Well, between Mexico and if you want to consider also, you know, Mexico being outside of California, which it is, I would say that I'm gone. I'm 6 months, 6 months away and 6 months home.
Yeah.
About half and half, I do.
Huh. And how do you find time for both traveling and writing?
Well, you know, you make time. You know, you when I get back, I hunker down and I try. I've got to get a lot of writing done when I get back. That's for sure.
Hmm. Do you prefer to travel on your own or in a group?
Well, you know, a little of both, I would say. A little of both. I don't like a large group, but I'm perfectly fine with a group of, you know, four to eight. I'm fine with. But you know, when you get to large groups, I find, especially with, you know, travel media, Dan can attest to this, there's always one person who maybe their pillow was too high and they have something to say about it. You know, come on, you're traveling the world, you know, it's not going to be perfect. So go with it, go with the flow, get along with people, you know, but traveling alone, also you tend to explore more and you're more open-minded maybe. And you see more when you travel alone, I'd say. So, you know, I'm amicable. I'm open to both, and you know, I try to be. If I am in a group, I try to be respectful to the and not be that guy whose pillow was too high. So.
Okay. More importantly,
anyway, yeah,
how do you handle language, food, and money? Not to mention local customs in foreign countries. And how many languages do you speak?
Well, I speak brokenly fluent Greek. I get by in Spanish living in Mexico. I get by well enough in Spanish. Well, obviously English, but you know something? As far as iTranslate, Google Translate. You know, there's about 30 translate apps now. You know, on everything from even specialty apps where and there's an app only for Chinese dialects. So, you know, it's so easy to travel nowadays compared to how it used to be. You can do so much to be connected, to be safe, to have GPS, to not get lost, to have a map guide you around. You know, as far as money goes, well, you know, I use an ATM to still take out cash. I still do that. And I also use a American Express card when I can, because they also give you insurance on if I buy something that's any value, you're protected with the Amex card. But no, and you know, I'm still an old school guy. I carry cash. I like to carry cash. So so you know, a little bit of everything. But yeah.
And Nick, are you most interested in going somewhere new or returning to someplace you liked?
Boy, it's both really. I mean, I'll go to Greece every other year. You know, I do live in Mexico. I want to explore more like anyone else. So I'm still, you know, I have so many, I've got a slew of places on my, you know, on my bucket list that I haven't traveled to yet. So, you know, again, it's a combo. Italy's always magical. Greece is magical. I love the UK. You know, so I'll go back to those places, especially like, you know, as you know, Dan, conferences we have. So, you know, there's reasons to go back to places, and some places you just like more. You know, so, yeah. And, you know, and they're wonderful to return to. You know, Venice, I'll never tire of Venice or Sydney, Australia. I think it's a wonderful city. You know, just for example.
So foreign travel or domestic U.S., which is your favorite?
Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you one thing, though. We're going to go probably still, like I said, for a lot of travelers. I'm lucky. Well, look, for starters, I'm lucky. I have Mexico, and Canada will open up eventually. There's three countries with lots of states and provinces that I can visit. If you add up the number of states and provinces from Canada, the United States, and Mexico, that's a heck of a lot of places I can visit that I haven't seen. Just that alone, but I'm going to do I want to do more U.S. travel. I say this, when I was a teenager, my parents brought me back to Greece. So my so-called stomp around, you know, instead of my Route 66, it was taking the ferry from my dad's hometown of Patras to Brindisi, Bari, or Ancona, and then getting on the train from in Italy and going up to Switzerland and over to France and to Spain. And so, you know, so I missed a lot of the U.S. You know, there's so much I want to see, and I'm very excited to see the South, more of the South. I just want to see more of our own culture. Mexico has 32 states. That excites me. And many provinces in Canada want me to visit. So as soon as Mr. Trudeau opens his borders, I think I'll do some Canada as well. So,
well, there you go. We're talking with travel writer Nick Contis.
Well, we've really covered the Greek connection, so I'll go on to ask you, what are your favorite places? And how about your favorite hotels, restaurants, and airlines? And keep your answers short because we're running out of time.
We're running out of time. My God, that's a good. These are some places. I'm going to do a rapid fire with you. Some places: Greece, Italy, Mexico, Scotland, Australia, Spain, Portugal, Rwanda, Kenya, Nepal, Japan, Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, Burma. Oh, so many more. I better stop. Hotels. I stayed at. You know, I've stayed at some amazing, amazing properties throughout my time. Some of those hotels, the Samod Palace in Jaipur in India was an amazing place to stay. Somewhere called the Gateway Canyons Resort and Spa in Gateway, Colorado, sort of a luxury Western feel, wonderful place. God, so many more. The hotels in Portugal that I stayed at, the Tivoli brand is amazing. The Aria hotels, they're a chain in Greece. Just, you know, I can go on forever on the hotel subject. You know, again, in Portugal, I stayed at some pretty amazing, unique properties. Just been blessed. The Hotel Faisano in Rio de Janeiro I stayed at recently. That was a wonderful, wonderful hotel. You know, too many to count, I would say.
Okay, Nick, last question for me. Do you have anything that, any place you would avoid, like the plague?
You know something, guys? I always say this. Somehow, I've been to over 100 countries, and, well, for all it's worth, I've never been mugged. Or what's that? Beat up, physically accosted. You know why? Because I say this. All in all, people themselves, people, what does a common man want? He wants his kid to go to school. He wants a roof over his head. He wants to feed his family. People aren't really going to hurt you. However, who are bad? Governments? Taters? Now, answer your question. Well, you know, Chechnya is not on my list right now to go to, nor is Somalia. And I don't think I'm going anytime soon to Syria or Iraq. But Iran, it's on my list. I can't wait to go to Iran. And the State Department says, don't go to Iran. I want to go. And also North Korea, I heard from everything I hear, you know, follow the rules and you'll be fine. You know, as far as I'm concerned, when you say don't go there, you sort of, like Peter Greenberg always said this, he goes, when people say don't go there, he's sort of intrigued, and I am too. Why not go there? Really? Am I really going to get hurt? But that said, there are places that I won't be going to, like I mentioned, for sure.
Okay, our guest tonight has been my friend and colleague, travel journalist Nick Contis. Thank you for joining us on Travel It Radio.
Dan, go Giants, go Braves.
Thanks, Nick. And what's the best non-furry armchair companion for the long, cold winter months? My book, The New Baseball Bible, Notes, Nuggets, Lists, and Legends from Our National Pastime. 480 pages for less than a saw book. It's both a coffee table book and a bathroom book. Read it backwards and still enjoy it. That's The New Baseball Bible 2020 edition with Mike Trout on the cover. Get it on Amazon.com. And that's it for this edition of Travel It Radio. Next week, same time, same station, same writers, same announcers. Our guest will be Patrick Lemaire, and the topic will be Quebec City. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with co-host Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night and stay safe.